And here in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki for the KFSK News Department. This is Campus Connection, and joined in studio today by School Superintendent Erica Klute-Painter and Board President Sarah Holmgren. Thank you both for coming in today. Another beautiful sunny day. Today is the 8th of June. Is this the last school board meeting before you take a little bit of a break? No meeting in July, Sarah? Or...
In theory, yes. Yes. Okay. Hopefully no meeting in July, but I, you know, if we have to have one, we'll have one.
Okay.
We need to have one.
Well, let's dive right in and remind people you're welcome to call in with your questions or comments at 772-3808. And budget presentation tonight from Finance Director Karen Morrison, right? Is that right, Erica?
Yep, she'll be calling in and giving her report tonight. A lot of work has gone into it this spring, just trying to sort through all of the different funding, you know, options that we've had this year with the various CARES Act allocations, and then, you know, looking at what we ended up with as far as enrollment. And so she did an amazing job of pulling all that information together, and we're quite pleased with where we ended up. We did a pretty good job, I think, of managing the money that came in and making the best use of all of that we could, and actually being able to utilize some of it even in this coming school year. We kind of held back some of the CARES Act 2 money so that we can use it going into the next year. And then this third allocation with the American Rescue Plan funding, we can utilize it this year and the following year. So we're feeling good about it, feeling good about our staffing numbers at this point. And and she'll give you lots more details there too. But
and every year you run up against that 10% limit that the state has for holding money over. Is that waived this year by the legislature? Yes.
It has been waived this year. Yes.
Fortunately, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're able to hold more money over from one year to the next, save it for a rainy day.
Yes.
So just to dive a little more into that budget, the enrollment numbers, you're talking about a decline in enrollment for the upcoming year. Is that just families moving out of town or new classes that aren't coming in that aren't expected to be as large? Or?
Yeah, kind of a combination of a lot of things, actually. You know, families moving in and out, not exactly sure. We always do a reasonable outreach to try to figure out how many, you know, especially Coast Guard families and that sort of thing might be moving in that we can, kind of confirm and utilize those numbers. We did send out a pretty significant survey this spring as well, just to get an idea of where families are. Some families that had made the decision to homeschool or maybe to try the remote options this year, you know, a lot of those families are returning next year, but some are still making that decision. So we did budget conservatively, as we always do. We're looking at about 415. We're hoping that it comes in closer to 430 or even higher than that. And it's likely that it will. I mean, it's anecdotally, we get, you know, information from people about who's moving where. And sometimes Sarah knows from her other job too. Families just moving without giving names. Oh, they might have three children. Oh, great. So anyway, just trying to look through those numbers and knowing that one of the other hits that will happen to us next year, potentially, if we do remain under that 425 cap, it does remove the three school status in our district. It doesn't mean that the building itself would shut down or anything like that, but it just, at the state level, they recognize that in a different way. It's just kind of a strange, arbitrary number.
Means a loss of state funding.
Yes, several hundred thousand dollars. Mm-hmm. Yep, so that's significant.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Sarah, your thoughts about the budget as proposed? I know you're going to hear more about it tonight, but...
And I will be honest, I haven't dove too deeply into it yet, but I am concerned about our enrollment numbers, but there's nothing you can really do about it. I think really the difficult part will be in another year if we continue in that decline and then we're having to deal with a major deficit and don't have the buffer potentially of money saved.
In the emergency funds.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So I know you had a work session last week and you did dive into some of the results of that survey. Any takeaways from what you heard from the community and stakeholders, Sarah?
In some ways, I almost wanted the public to be able to hear some of the feedback that, you know, we had some really strong opinions in this community about how schools should look. And those were opinions, not necessarily always backed with what was required of us. Because you can have an opinion of how school should look or how it should be run, but if we are having to follow certain rules, it doesn't matter what your opinion is or our opinion is, it has to be done a certain way. The majority of the staff, it seemed, felt like the year was quite successful. And I think that's what we have to remember is what was going on in the rest of the country and how few students were actually in the classroom and how successful we were. And I believe the number was only 18 days closed. And so that was also, you know, staff was feeling very positive about that, about where the kids were last year at this time to where they are now. It was by far the majority were a feeling of success. You have your outliers. Some parents, presumably because it's anonymous, maybe even some staff that wanted it to be more liberal than what it was this year. Very few wanted it stricter, and there were very few that thought it was a overkill. But again, they weren't involved in any of the hoops that we were required to jump through. And I think we can call it a successful year with the fact that our community held tight and we didn't have any major enormous outbreaks and nobody died. And, you know, that was really our goal, was get the kids through school and hopefully get slightly back on track, but also not be a super spreader in our own community. Right. Because it is the only entity that gathers that large number of people, and they're little people sometimes, together and mix, you know, and no other job in town requires you to do that. So there was a huge concern in September. But I think the results of that survey, you know, between what people felt was right in September and how they feel in the spring is feeling very satisfied and successful. And how their kids got through the year, how their teachers got through the year. I know everybody's pretty tired and worn out. But in the end, being hindsight, that it was a very good year.
Okay. How about you, Erica? Do you have any takeaways from the survey results?
I would echo what Sarah said. I think, I think people are tired. And so, you know, that sometimes it's hard to look back and remember, you know, all the things that we did go through to make this happen. And sometimes when we are tired, I think we feel like, well, did we really need to do all those, you know, that whole, like you say, kind of hindsight or looking back, you know, and that's why I think it'll be important moving forward and having these conversations again at the local level and looking at things that are happening, you know, as far as mandates and things, you know, kind of rolling back in the community and the emergency status changing, and then really working with our local medical advisors and advisors from DHSS as well, about what, you know, what's possible, what's not possible, what's reasonable, what's not reasonable, and trying to really do that while removing, again, as much kind of the political or emotional responses to things. I think it's been really hard to manage that this year. And I think, again, as people get tired, it becomes a little more challenging, you know, to manage that. So, I mean, we understand that. I mean, we have staff members feel the same way, you know, it's been a hard year, but we've worked super hard to do that. And that's to make this happen to the best of our ability. And I do think we have so much to be proud of for that. And, as a district and for our families and for our students as well, people really did come together for the most part, I think, and really worked hard to make this happen. And I think people feel good about that. And feel that it was successful. And I think we're all hopeful for what might be coming next here. You know, we do have high vaccination rates here. We do right now have low case counts. And, you know, what does that mean for us, you know, moving forward? Lots of conversations about that happening locally and at the state level. And we don't have a specific exact answer today for everyone, much as everybody would like that. But we do need things to roll out a little bit over the summer. CDC is updating their guidance for schools in the next week or two. The state's going to be coming out with some additional guidance. And we have some requirements, you know, in order to receive this American Rescue Plan funding. There are requirements within the mitigation strategies that we have to talk about and we have to address. So still trying to find that balance.
Okay. So I know it's a couple months away, but day one back to school, the goal is in person, in classroom, right, at this point?
Yep.
Unless something changes dramatically or...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. I think we've learned enough this year about strategies and things that do work. And, you know, we will need to talk about masking and what that looks like. We will need to talk about physical distancing and what that looks like, or antigen testing and ways, you know, things that we learned this year that worked well, that allowed our activities to continue. I think those are things we're going to keep doing. I think those things will all, and those are all part of that American Rescue Plan. They have to be addressed.
How about a fully remote piece of the local education process? Because we've, you know, heard for some students that really worked this past year, and some people liked that being remote. But for teachers, we know it's a struggle to juggle an in-person class and a remote class at the same time.
Yeah, we were just actually discussing that this morning and we've discussed it a lot of this spring, especially at the secondary level is the primary area where there was the opportunity to do that. And it worked fairly well, you know, overall. I mean, especially when we were all very specifically planning for that. So whether it was remote, all remote learning, there's a different way of providing that instruction, very directed, very specific. We did definitely find over the year that the ability to sort of call in and out kind of as an option without necessarily having a really good process for that. You know, maybe somebody was not feeling well that morning and they stayed home, but it's really hard to manage those kind of things when it's not a regular structured plan. So, you know, maybe the teacher doesn't maybe know that they are going to be trying to call in. They don't have, you know, they're not necessarily set up that day to do a hybrid model. So when we direct it and have a plan for it, we're going to provide an option like for kids who are traveling, you know, they're under a teacher's supervision or a coach will, you know, work with that. But I think we're going to have to tighten up on the ability for people to just, whenever they want to just sort of call in. It was very, that was not as successful as we would have wanted. And the kids would tell you that too. I mean, I think when it was very planned, it worked pretty darn well. But the, you know, as a period here and there, and no, they're traveling and they can call in and, you know, that kind of stuff. We have to tighten that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Sure. Any other thoughts on that topic, looking ahead to next year, what it might look like? Anything?
I think I just want to let the community know that we're going to do our very best to be as liberal as we are allowed to. And they, you know, in their place of work or in the community may look very different than what is allowed in the school. And I know that has, you know, with some of the parental frustrations last fall, but again, it's we're going to do the best we can, but at the same time, we are limited. There are requirements that we are bound to that a private business isn't, or a public entity even isn't required to. So, you know, the goal, again, is everybody in the classroom and being able to move as freely as possible. But there will be rules and expectations and restrictions that may still be in place because of the nature of the beast, not because we want it to be that way, but because we have to do it that way. And just kind of as a reminder to, yeah. As Mrs. Evans said at graduation, be kind. You know, we're not in it to make money.
Yeah, this is true.
We're just trying to do the best we can as a volunteer and as an employee.
This is true. And I think just also navigating the wonderful things that have come about these vaccination numbers and the mm-hmm. recommendations that have come, you know, from the CDC, that's great. And I think people felt a lot of hope about that. But for schools, that's extremely challenging to be able, I mean, to say out loud, well, if you're vaccinated, you can do this. And if you're not, well, how do you do that in a public school setting where you're not really able to mm-hmm. you know, require it in that sense and really, that makes it very challenging too. And we certainly have, again, kids and parents and staff members who are and are not vaccinated who are kind of all lobbying for some different things there too. So mm-hmm. it does make it'll be challenging, But I do think we're definitely moving in the right direction as we're seeing in our community. It's exciting. I mean, I think that part of it's really exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And someday we may not have to talk about it at all.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
I look forward to it. Yep. So let's address a couple other things. Policy change for graduations. This is for homeschool students. I know there was one in the Petersburg High School ceremony this past May, and that's going to change if you approve this policy, Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay. Reasoning behind that?
I think graduation needs to be solidified to students that are school enrollees. It needs to be restricted to that. If you're in a homeschool program, that is your choice and you're doing it and you can have your own graduation. But graduation is really, it's a privilege, not a right. And so it's like any other activity that we have at the school, that if you are an enrolled student, then you can participate in it. Maybe this was extenuating circumstances, but I guess just moving forward, we want to be absolutely clear on what those rules are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think so.
All right. Any other thoughts on that, Erica? No?
Nope, I don't think so.
All right. You'll also be looking at the handbooks. That's an annual thing. Look over any new wording, anything jump out at or we should let people know about that's really big or different in any of the handbooks? And no.
I don't think there's anything really major in there. We've kind of, especially this year, we added a couple of sort of almost like COVID appendices is kind of how we chose to do it, so that we didn't, you know, redo the entire, handbook and try to.
They can be pulled out.
Yeah. Hopefully. So I think there's some things there that we've tried to acknowledge some of that too. And of course, the activities handbook that Mr. Cabral did, that's an ever evolving process as well, just because of as things change with requirements there with groups mixing and travel and all that sort of thing. So, and the handbooks really are they're really considered an AR, an administrative regulation. So we do like to do it publicly in June at the end of the year and before the upcoming school year, so the board can certainly see what any changes are potentially coming forward. And certainly we will be addressing and discussing. I know the attendance component for sure. That was there were some challenges this year with that, some of it due to COVID, obviously, and quarantines and things like that. But also, I think a lot more travel this year with people once people felt like they could travel. And so we definitely had some disruptions and things this year that we just need to tighten up. I think just like I was referring to a little bit earlier, there's some things that need to be.
And a few things, I guess, just minor added. Like adding in Native Youth Olympics as an activity. So it's little things like that that are came out of even just teacher negotiations on making it an actual activity for middle school in the previous year, not having it.
All right. So. American Rescue Plan, you'll get an update on that and the money from that and what the plan is.
Yeah, that's part of that mitigation plan that we're required to submit by June 23rd, and then a rough plan, and then fleshing out the details in August, and then continuing to update that as we need to moving into the school year. And there are some specific things in there, like I said, there's sort of targeted areas that we have to address in order to receive the money. And it's approximately about $350,000 that we can use over the next 2 years, so it's a significant amount of money. And they are they're not telling us exactly what to do, but they are certainly giving us lots of guidance that we need to do. So,
all right. And as you're talking about that, I'm thinking it's early June and the state legislature still hasn't passed a budget yet.
Exactly. So. I know. That's how we feel a lot. Like we, all the way through this, like, you guys need to turn this in and do this. We're thinking everybody else isn't even done, but it's okay. Yeah. We'll keep doing it.
We turn yours in and then we'll turn ours.
Yeah.
What, doesn't really you're expecting the same level of funding as last year, big decreases in education funding from one year to the next.
Yeah, I think that's still where it's heading. We're not necessarily hearing a lot of pushback on that this year, which is nice. And then there was even potentially, I think they were trying to get it to be maybe even a couple of years. They tried to pull it out, education funding as its own kind of separate piece this year too, just to, get that done, get that accomplished. But we're not hearing a lot of pushback on that at the legislative level. So hopefully that will go through.
Do things get messy if they don't agree on a budget by July 1st?
That's a good question. I assume that it would stay where they're, they usually seem to come in at that last 11th hour, especially with that duty, right? That public education funding kind of responsibility, they have to make a decision. We may not always love it, but we need one. And so they typically do seem to come together at least on that one. So, at this point we've, as we always do, it's that challenging thing of kind of front loading all of our decisions and then not necessarily having that answer. And then, trying to deal with you know, those enrollment numbers too, which come in October, well after we've already started, mm-hmm. you know, so yeah.
Quite a challenge. Okay. All right. Anything else you want to let people know about tonight's meeting, school operations? There's still stuff going on this summer. I mean, there's summer school going on. There are meals happening Monday through Friday. And
absolutely. Meals service started yesterday, June 7th, and it's going through the summer. And it's eligible for anybody 18 years old and all the way down. And you can stop by the pick it up outside the elementary school between, I think it's 11 to 1. I think they've expanded that a little. So the fabulous Carly Johnson McIntosh and her crew, Katie Brantuis, is actually running the program this summer. So shout out to her. And also shout out to Bridget Whitstock for helping to pull together the details for our summer school offerings. This summer we are offering different programs, K-12. We're doing some credit recovery things right now with some of our older students, and then an actual summer school happening in July, which we're excited about that. And and I think just for me, and I'll let Sarah respond too, but I would like to just say publicly, just send out a huge thank you to our incredible staff in this district and for the work that they've done all the way through this year. Well, really all the way through the summer and all the way through the year, and even moving into this summer, knowing everybody really needs a break, but we have people already just saying, you know, as things come out, let us know and we'll give you feedback or we'll help or, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm very grateful for the amazing staff that we have here in Petersburg, and also just to recognize the incredible work of our kids and our families and our community this year too. We've done a lot to be proud of here, and our kids, I think they were very fortunate this year, and I'm proud of the work that we've done. So anyway, just wanted to say that.
Okay. And mostly fully staffed for the upcoming year?
I think we're close. We have posted through one of the grants that we had received this spring through DHSS for a school nurse. We have not received any applicants for that yet. So if anybody's out there listening, has any questions, or you have somebody you might want to refer, or you just want to know more about it, it's posted on our website, and also just give us a call and we'd be happy to talk about it. We really would like to have that happen. We're still going to be dealing with quarantine things next year. We're still going to be dealing with symptoms and whatever stuff. So it would be nice to fill that position for lots of reasons, mm-hmm. not just COVID. So, okay. Yeah.
Sarah, anything we missed? Do you want to?
No, touch on? I think that was pretty much covers it.
Okay, sounds good. Well, you can hear the school board meeting tonight at 6 o'clock from the middle and high school library. Coming up next, Street Beat Music with Ross Nanook III.